The unsurpassed and unchanging head for the truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 various dollars. Now we can see and hear, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. The first talk in a series of talks I did this fall, and I did these talks in my office and recorded them. The first talk was about my state of being boggled at the time. Boggled, I think, is a term I learned from Master Jiyu. I don't know if boggled exists in American English the way it does in English English, but probably it does. Being boggled is a state of not knowing, a state in which one is acutely conscious of not knowing. And it, of course, is rather easy to get bogged down in being boggled. Maybe that's where the word comes from, being bogged down. Maybe boggled comes from being bogged down, I don't know. But you know, one isn't necessarily bogged down just because one is boggled. Sometimes one just has to spend some time being aware that one doesn't have any clarity at all about the direction one needs to move in. And that seems to me generally to be a very good time just to sit still and to listen. Spiritually, listen. Listen with one's heart. Well, in my experience, this is always a kind of passing phase. And that as I sit through being boggled, the next step does show itself. And as I take the next step, then the next step shows itself, and so on. So I didn't spend very long being boggled, but I spent some days being boggled. There is, however, an underlying state of unknowing that doesn't just go away. And we shouldn't want it to go away. It's one of the chief ways that we're reminded that we are not God. And it seems to me that one of the advantages of getting older is that if you have any sense, the older you get, the more you know how little you know. Until one day, if you're very fortunate indeed, you realize that you know nothing. To realize that one knows nothing can be, if one is trying to know something, can be acutely painful. However, if one is not trying to know something, it can be deeply comforting. In other words, it all depends on the attitude one takes. And fundamentally, it depends on whether there is an attitude of doubt or an attitude of faith. To know nothing in the sense of which I'm speaking is not the same as being ignorant of the eternal. It is not the same as being ignorant of the fact that there is the eternal, there is the refuge of the eternal, and that one can turn in all need towards that refuge. And that infinite help is available from that refuge, within that refuge. But see, this is what faith is all about. If one squashes one's faith, if one denies one's faith, if one obscures for oneself that little light of faith that exists within all of us, but if one obscures it and denies it, and convinces oneself or allows other people to convince one that it's not there, then when one comes to the point of knowing nothing, then a great chasm of despair opens up. For it's not just knowing nothing, it's that one is nothing. On the other hand, if one comes to that place where one realizes one is nothing, and one is looking up in faith, then it is possible for one to come to the realization that this is the fullest nothingness you could ever imagine, as Rev. Master G used to say. I am nothing. The eternal is everything. The eternal is all of me. See, that's the other side of it. You are not him. He is all of you. You are not the eternal. The eternal is all of you. You have to go through that. You are not the eternal. You have to go through the I know nothing. I am nothing. Go through it looking up. In the talks that I did during our monastic retreat at the beginning of December, in one of the talks, I began the talk by speaking about the great pillar of eternal meditation, the great pillar of the Buddha nature. Up at the upper end of that pillar is the position of heaven. Down at the lower end is the position of earth. Up at the upper end is the position of the help that flows forth from the eternal. Down at the lower end is the position of our spiritual need. It's one pillar, not two. Where can you draw a line and say, this is where the help ends, and this is where the need begins, or with it, this is where the need ends, and this is where the help begins? You cannot find such a line. The There is an eternal flow of help to need, of need reaching up towards help. When need receives a help, it becomes part of the help. When help gets divorced from its source, it becomes part of the need. Within all of this, the eternal is, and we have our role to play. Sometimes we know nothing. Sometimes our mind and heart are illuminated with a ray of wisdom. And then it returns to the default position of knowing nothing. All wisdom is of the eternal. All wisdom flows forth from the eternal in accordance with the need for its manifestation. There's nothing in the world easier than to blind ourselves to this amazing, this miraculous, this wonderful process. There's also nothing easier than at any point pausing to look up with thy naive mind and heart of a child. And then there it is. Homage to all the Buddhas in all the world. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all the world. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.